to ask you to please just bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name. We are here before you, and we ask you that you can bless us with your presence. Send your Holy Spirit to be upon us. Send your Holy Spirit to open our eyes to your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. But I invite you to open up your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The sermon, I was reading the title of today's sermon, and it says, "All things are possible." How many of you believe that all things are possible? It seems that some of you believe. How many of you actually believe that all things are possible? Now I have a problem now. I'm going to talk to a church who is unbeliever or who actually believe this. If you believe it, please say it loud. All things are possible.
Amen.
Now, if you don't believe me, just take a look at what happened a few days ago with the elections. Right? I mean, all the polls were saying something else. There's no explanation. But let me tell you something. All things are possible for those who believe. Amen. Now, I want you to begin with that idea. You know, the disciples of Jesus Christ, they will go with Jesus everywhere. They spend some time with Jesus. And one day, two of the disciples came to the Lord and said, "Lord, we want you to do something for us." And the Lord said, "Okay." Verse 36. "What is your request? What is it that you want me to do? I'm the Lord." And they said, "Well, you know, Jesus, what are we asking you right now? Something simple. You see, in your kingdom, I want to sit to your right and my brother to your left. Nothing difficult. You can do that." And the Lord is looking at them and saying, "It seems that you still don't understand my message. My kingdom is not from here." If you keep reading the same passage, later on the Lord is going to say, "You know what? That I cannot do." You see, you read the Bible and all things are possible. You could ask anything you want to the Lord except this. Now, the Lord continued his journey, and we got to this beautiful town of Jericho. Verse 46 begins the idea and the story that I want to tell you today. Jesus is going to this city. And as he's approaching this city, along the side, along the road, there are people there begging. There are homeless people crying for mercy, saying, "Please, I need something to eat." And people will actually give them something. Now, it's very interesting when you read that passage that the Lord now is coming out from the city. He's going out. And I'm thinking, Jesus went to the city and he made miracles. He did things that no one did before. And now all of a sudden, people outside the city, those who were forbidden to come into the city, were listening, paying attention. They were hearing that people are being healed. Things are happening there. And now there is this guy right there sitting and thinking, "I want to have my time with Jesus. I want to be with Jesus." However, there is one problem. And you know what the problem is? He was blind. Now let me tell you something. The story says that as Jesus was leaving Jericho, a great crowd of people was going with Jesus. Correct? Now I'm thinking, Jesus is walking, a great crowd of people, and everyone wants to be with Jesus. Everyone wants to touch Jesus. They want to be with him. And there's a large multitude of people trying to be with Jesus. What can you do in that circumstance? You know that he is your only chance for healing. You know that he is your only hope. You want to be with Jesus, but there is a big problem. How can you approach Jesus if you're blind? If I ask you right now, close your eyes, and then I tell you, try to go to your car, not opening your eyes. Would you be able to do that? Now let me make it a little bit harder. You know this brother here, right? I'll ask you, close your eyes. Now, please recognize him and go to him when you're blind. Could you do that? No, it's impossible. Now, he had that problem. Not only that, not only you're blind, but also you have a lot of people trying to be with Jesus. What can you do? And this is the first thing that I want to share with you today. Mark it down. The Bible says, if you keep reading right there, that he cried out for mercy. He said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he was crying out for mercy and saying, Lord, Son of David, please have mercy on me. And that's exactly the first thing we do. You see, when you have a problem in your life, when something is happening to you, don't you come to church because you're crying out for mercy? Don't you come to church because you need hope? Don't we come to Jesus because we need him in our lives? And we say, Lord, please have mercy on me because I'm a sinner. He knew his condition. He knew he was a sinner. Now he's saying, Lord, please have mercy on me. And as he's crying out for mercy, as you're coming to the church, those who are disciples, those who are followers of Jesus, are looking back and saying, shut up! You think Jesus is going to have time for you? No! Please, be quiet! You know, people come to our church, and we tell them the same thing. You're a sinner. Jesus is not for you. Please, go away. The way you dress is not appropriate. The way you're thinking maybe is not appropriate for the church. You're too liberal or you're too conservative. And we pushed him back. Now, you may come here to church because you need something. Something is empty in your heart. And you need hope. You know that this is the only place that you can get hope, that you can get love. But guess what? Those who are followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus, this crowd who is following Jesus, now is looking back at this individual saying, shut up. The Lord has no time for you. He's too busy. In fact, you're a sinner. You think the Lord is going to stop for you? And the Bible says that he was crying out for mercy even more, saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I want you to understand that. What is the first thing that you and I have to do? Cry out for mercy. Now repeat after me, please. What's the first thing you have to do?
Cry out for mercy.
I don't hear it. What's the first thing you have to do?
Cry
out for mercy. Even when people is looking at you, even when people is criticizing you, please don't stop coming to church. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking for mercy, because you know what? The Lord is walking. And now all of a sudden the crowd is, you know, it's noisy when there is a lot of multitude there. It's noisy, but you might think that the Lord is not paying attention to you, when in reality the Lord is actually listening. And all of a sudden the Lord stops. And when the Lord stops, everyone as well stopped. And now Jesus looked back, and there's silence, and you can hear far, far away a guy crying out for mercy, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. And now the very same crowd, the very same people that a few minutes ago were saying, the Lord has no time for you, now they're looking at him, because the Lord is saying, I know your condition. There is a problem. Now Jesus is looking at, and I want to believe that it was the same two disciples that a few days before they said, Lord, please grant us our wish. And now the Lord is going to call these two disciples and said, you know what? Do you see that individual over there crying out for mercy? And everyone is looking at that guy. He doesn't know because he's blind. He knows that something is happening because he's quiet. And he keeps on crying for mercy, saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Now the Lord says, John, you know what? Go where that guy is, where that blind man is, because he can come to me unless you go to him. And I want you to understand that message. How many of you are already disciples of the Lord? I guess you are the blind people then. Because if you are the disciple of the Lord is going to come to you and say, you know what? You see the people out there, this church? All those drug addicts, prostitutes, all those homeless over there, they can come here. They don't know any better. They're blind. They need you to go where they are. Now the Lord is telling them, please go to them. And if you keep reading, the Bible says that they got to him and they said, you know what? Cheer up. Get up. Because the Lord is calling you. They never got there saying, you know what? I think you have to change the way you dress. Or I think you have to change this and that. Oh, you know what? I don't like the way you are. They never had words of criticism. They had words of comfort, of hope, saying, get up. People doesn't want to hear criticism. People want to hear that you love them, that you care about them. They got there with words of what? Love and hope. They said, cheer up. The Lord is calling you. He didn't know that. He didn't know that the Lord actually stopped for him. He didn't know that the Lord actually was paying attention to his cries. He didn't know any of it. And he just heard two people coming to him saying, you know what? We're going to take you to the Lord because you're blind. And we're going to take you because we know the road is bumpy. And we know that you can fall, but we're going to be there next to you to give you comfort. And if you fall, we're going to say, cheer up again. Hold my hand and we're going to keep walking to Jesus. We're not here to criticize. We're not here to start diminishing the value of individuals. We're here to say, you know what? We're taking you to Jesus. Now, there is something very interesting that happens there. You see, the Bible says that he got up and he threw away his garments. He threw away his garments, his clothes. Let me ask you this. What do you think his condition is now? How? Please say it out.
Naked.
And blind. He's naked and blind. Now, whenever I read this is very, let me put it this way. If the president now, the new president, invites me to the White House, unlikely to happen. But if that happens, I'm not going to go naked. I mean, would you go naked? How many of you will say, well, I'm going to the White House, everyone's going to be watching on me, so I'm going to go naked? How many of you? Nobody. Most likely, most of us will say, hey, I don't think this is good. I need to go and buy something new. I'm meeting the president, you know? But what he did is, I'm meeting the creator of the world. I'm going to go in the way I am. Go to Jesus as you are. You don't have to change anything. A few days ago, I was just having a conversation with a lady, and she said to me, you know what, Pastor, I know everything. I know the truth. I read the Bible. I know that this is the church. And I said, so what's, you know, holding you back from getting baptized? And she said, well, I have to change something in my life. I have to change this and that. And that's the same argument. This guy understood, if the Lord is calling you, you have to come as you are. We all have this facade, right? Two personas. We behave in a way in church, and we behave differently at work and at home. The Lord wants you to come as you are. And this is the second thing that you and I need to understand. Number one is cried out for. And number two is go or come as you are. You really don't have to change anything. You can anyways. Who's the only one that can make the miracle in your life? It's Jesus Christ. And this blind beggar understood that message. He knew. I'm not have to go. He didn't say, you know what? Thank you for coming. I don't know exactly how I dressed. I'm a homeless. Please take me over there. I have my, you know, it's not a house, but I can go take a shower because I'm stinky. No, he never said that. He said, I'm going to go as I am. He didn't care about the multitude. He didn't care about what others were going to say because he was naked. He knew something. If I'm going to the Lord, I need to go as I am. And there they are, the three of them walking. The two disciples, one at one side and the other one the other side. And if he fails, what happens? They're there to tell them, get up. The Lord is calling you. Cheer up. Let's go together. And finally, they got to Jesus. He's naked. He's blind. If you're homeless, you have all the needs of this world. You need everything. What could you ask? Now, when I was little, I used to read this huge book, A Thousand Nights. I don't know if you're familiar with that book. But in that book, there's one particular chapter that talks about the genie of the bottle. You see, and that genie of the bottle gives you how many wishes? How many? Oh, that's amazing. You know, if you missed up in the first wish, you still have two to make it up, right? And if you make a mistake in the second wish, you still have the third one to fix the first two. Now you are getting in front of the genie of life. I mean, he's the creator, but there is one difference. He's only going to give you one choice, one opportunity. What are you going to ask? If you're in front of the Lord, and you look at yourself and say, I have all these needs. What could you ask? Probably if you are sick, you'll say, please restore my life. If you lost your job, you will ask for it, right? Now, the idea is that whatever you ask to the Lord, it has to be done, correct? That's what we believe? Yes or not? Okay. Now, this is the thing. And I believe the Lord actually gives you what you ask. But that's not the problem. This guy said, Lord, I want to see. Even before he got to the Lord knew already his needs. And he said, what do you want me to do? And he said, Lord, I want to see. That's all I want. And if you read what it says there, the Lord said, okay, go. Your faith has healed you. But I want to make the emphasis in the first word. Go. Now let me ask you something. At that instant, this guy opens his eyes. He's looking at Jesus. And then he looks at him. He knows he's naked. And now he's hearing this command by the Lord himself saying, you know what? Go. You know what happens with many of us? We cry out when we are in trouble. When we have problems, we come to church as we are. And we ask in our prayer requests and petitions, please, Lord, do this to me. And if you do this to me, I promise you this and I promise you that. And the Lord, you know what? The Lord is so merciful and loving. And he said, okay, my son, I'll give you what you're asking. I'll give you what you need. Fine, that's what you believe. That's what you think you need. That's what you really think you need. Okay, I'm going to give you that. And you know what happens after that? As soon as you hear the word go, we go. Now let me ask you something. Where are you going to go? If you're blind, now you just recover your eyes. Where are you going to go? What's the thing you do? What's your job? What do you do for a living? You're a beggar. That means now I have to go back and sit there and start saying, you know what, please give me something. If you go back to where you came from, is your life different? Is it? It's the same thing. But many of us, we do this cycle. When we have problems, when we're in trouble and we come to the church, we cry out for mercy. We ask the Lord, please be merciful. And we pray and we do all these things and the Lord give us what we need. Then what happens? We go back to the same problem. And then we're saying, why, Lord? Why me? We don't understand. You see, this guy never said, Lord, if I follow you, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me in return? He's just looking at the Lord. Everyone is astonished because this miracle is taking place there. And he's looking at the Lord and he's saying, oh, Lord, you're the only one that can fix my life. Now, this is the third thing that you have to understand. Ask for what you really need. For what you really need. So let us just summarize right now. What's the first thing you have to do? Cry for mercy. What's the second thing you have to do? Come as you are. And what is the third thing you and I have to do? Ask what you really need. What do you truly need? Or let me put it in a different way. Seek the kingdom of God first. And everything else is going to happen as a result of that. These are the three things that we all do. And sometimes we go back to the same place because we are too obedient to the Lord when we hear, go. And we leave. And we go away. But there is something that he did. Verse 52 says, he followed Jesus down the road. And I want you to understand this. What it means is that he followed Jesus for the rest of his life. He said, you know what? I don't care if I'm naked. I don't care if I don't have anything. I know one thing today, that you are able to provide for my needs. I don't care who or whatever these people are saying. I'm just going to follow you no matter what. Because if I'm with you, all things are possible. And that's exactly what he did. I know that there is... You ready? And as you come, he has something to tell you. I want you to think about this. These are four things we all do. We cried out for mercy. Right? What else? What else we do? We cried out for mercy. Help me. Come as you are. We ask what you need. And finally, you have to follow the Lord. Do you want to make your announcement?
Our closing song will be led by our praise team.
So as the praise team comes to the stage, in the book of Luke, there is one more step, one more thing that this guy did. And I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, the responsibility we have as a church. People are unable to come here because they're blind, they don't know the way. We need to go where they are with words of comfort, with words of hope. We need to go where they are because the road to Jesus is bumpy. They need our help. They need you, not to criticize, but to show love and mercy. And let me tell you right now, the entire country is falling apart. There is division. There are riots. It's the time for us to say, you know what? The Lord is coming. Our citizenship is not here. We're citizens from heaven. We're ambassadors, all of you, no matter what skin color you have or what country you come from, you are a citizen of the Lord. Amen. Now the Lord is telling you, go with the good news, the gospel. Because these people don't know any better. They're blind. And it's possible that I have some people here that came for the very first time. Because you're hungry and you're thirsty of love and hope.